Trinitarian. He's got to wait back of the line. Amen. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, turn to Luke chapter number 2. I'm going to start reading in verse number 6. Amen. Luke chapter 2, in verse number 6. When you have it, if you would please stand for the reading of God's Word. Amen. I'm just going to read a couple of verses of Scripture here. Starting in verse number 6. And it was so that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. Speaking of Mary. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger. I want us to notice this portion of Scripture. Because there was no room. Amen. Dear Lord, I pray that you would move in this place. Continue to move as you've been moving. I pray that you touch hearts and lives. I pray, Lord, that you would draw us to the altar here this morning. Help us to leave changed, challenged, Lord, and different than whence we came. I pray, Lord, as we are here in this congregation and in this service and in the midst of your presence, I pray that you would alter our lives, that we are never the same, but that we would leave different. In your name we pray. And the church said, you may be seated. Now, how many, especially in this time of the season, go see family members around the holidays? A lot of us do. Now, when you go to see someone and you're going to stay at their house, you usually go expecting that there is what waiting for you? A room. Now, why is it important that there's a room for you? Because you're coming to see them. Coming to stay. Some of us pay good money to go see family that we don't particularly care for, but we have to go and see them. See, some of y'all are smiling because you got some family members like that. And that's good. That's good. See, the Lord's trying to teach you something, or them something. One of y'all just need to hurry up and learn it. We find that they went with a purpose. Now, Mary and Joseph, no doubt, Brother Jason, he went to his shop and he clearanced out everything that he had because he knew how much it was going to cost to get there. Joseph was a businessman. He had a business mind, which meant he went prepared. He knew when they got to Bethlehem, there's no doubt Brother Matthew going to be a sold-out joint. But he wanted to make sure and have enough funds to secure a room for his wife and his soon-to-be child. So as they went to Bethlehem, go down. We've all heard the story, but I want us to go there this morning. As they went down from place to place, and they found that there was no room in each house, they would knock. And he might say, hey, I've got X amount of dollars left. I got a couple $100 if I could just have a place to stay for a night. Got all the way down to the end of town, the last house on the block. And still, Brother Jason, there was no room. And what did he do, Brother Matthew? He said, you know, do you have any place? Don't find where they charged them for this. They said, no, we don't have any place for you to stay. But we do have some stables. Now, how many of y'all has ever cleaned out stables before? All right, I'm not alone. We got some stables in the back. But we don't have any room in the inn. I want to simply preach on this thought this morning. Do you have room for him? Do you have room for him? We make room in our life for so many things. We like to have activities. Like today after service, we're going to have activities. We live a very busy life. How many here has a full-time job? That's right, Sister Bethany. You're putting in a few more hours than some of us. If you have a child, that's a full-time job, plus some. But we give, if we have a job, we give a minimum of 40 to 50 hours is what statistics state is what a full-time job entails. You're giving 40 to 50 hours. And if you run a business, you give anywhere from 80 to 95 hours a week to that job. And if you are starting up a business, you're giving anywhere from 95 to 120 hours a week in order to make sure it starts. Now we take all of these things and we fill our life with those things. Now if you do not, now I'm going to preach to the families here for just a minute. If you do not make room for your family, you will have a hard time winning them to Christ. That's why it is important, whenever we come home, that we set our work to the side. We take time to make room for what God has given us charge over. Saying all this, I want us to realize we are a busy people here in America. We find whenever we don't have something to do, we create something to do. Whether it's watching a film or whether it's going out and throwing ourselves in arts and crafts, we find something to fill our time with. But the one thing that we do not allow to take priority in the time and we've completely lost room for is for the Word of God. We find instead of picking up the Word of God, we pick up our cell phone and we watch something or we play a game on it. We simply just don't have time, Brother Freddy, for any more room for Christ because we already go to church Sunday morning. There's a lot of places that don't go Sunday night or a midweek. I just don't have any more room. Now, Mimi experiences this. I'm going to pick on her for just a minute. She has hard drives and hard drives of photos. And her phone gets full from time to time. When it gets full, she wants a new memory card so that she can free up more space. Now, we as human beings do not have a place where we can plug in an extra data bank. We have to empty ourselves of things in order to make room for new things. Now, that's why I want to kind of give us a big picture here. Do you have room for Him this morning? Because it's so easy to schedule everything, every ounce of time, every waking moment away, and we completely forget about Christ. What I find here is that if the town of Bethlehem had known that the prophecy was going to be fulfilled, Brother Jason, there would have been every inn in that place would have been empty. Everyone would have been outside because they wanted to make sure that the King of Kings would have a place to lay His head. That the very mama that was going to give birth to that child would have the best. But because they were not prepared, there was no place. I want to talk to us about three different areas in our room, in our lives, if we will make room for Him. He will begin an add-on project to your house. Now, my pastor has been through multiple additions to his home over the past 12, 13 years. I can remember how it's transitioned in my time, and then I know the stories of how it changed before then. But adding on to a structure is not something you just say, well, I'm just going to add on to it. It's something that you have to plan for, and you have to make sure you secure the supplies, and then you have to have the time to do it. So the first thing I want to talk to us about, first point, is if you will make room for him, he will make a room for a blessing. 2 Samuel chapter 6 and verse 10. So David would not remove the ark of the Lord unto him into the city of David. But David carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. And the ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. And it was told to King David, saying, the Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth unto him because of the ark of God. So what we find here in this portion of Scripture is a lot of us know the story that if you want room for a blessing, you've got to first of all make a room available. Amen. You can go ahead and switch to that slide, Brother Tim. You've got to make room. Obed-Edom was there in the house, and all of a sudden he hears the ruckus outside. Oh, somebody just got struck dead by God. That's what had happened. And he walks up to the king and said, hey, king, is there anything that I can do to help in this situation? And the king looks to him and says, do you have a place for the presence of God? I find so many times we cannot inconvenience ourselves to make room for the presence of God because it's going to change our household. What I found here in the scripture is that Obed-Edom went in and said, honey, we got to clean out the extra bedroom. We got to make room in the main room because the ark of God is going to sit in our house. And what I find is whenever they begin to make place for the presence of God, there was a blessing that followed. It didn't just touch, amen, just Obed-Edom in his home, but it began to touch everything that pertaineth to him. It didn't just bless him, but it blessed the servants. It didn't just bless the servants, but it blessed their children. I'm here to tell you this morning, if you'll make room for the King of Kings, he will add on a blessing that cannot be contained. A blessing that the whole nation will begin to realize there is something they are doing that is different, and God is blessing. If you want to be blessed, you have to give him a room. My grandparents always had 2 spare bedrooms that was always ready in case somebody came by. You know, we had these things called a cell phone. We're going to somebody's house, we shoot them a text. Hey, I'm going to stop by. Didn't have that. Somebody got a harebrained idea they were going to go see my grandma and grandpa. Unless they stopped to use a pay phone. I know some of y'all don't know what that is. Had to use a payphone to let them know they were coming, or they'd just show up. Brother Scott, and they'd be like, hey, brought my bags. Think I can stay a while? Let me ask you this morning, on this Sunday morning, do you have a space that is dedicated to your Savior? Because if you will make a space for him, he will begin to go into that room and he will add to it a blessing. Now, we look at Mary. Oh, she was favored. She was blessed beyond all others. Why was that? It's because she was willing to inconvenience herself. Whenever we run up against any kind of inconvenience, Sister Janet, we throw up our hands, we get mad. Why in the world is it my lot in life to deal with this? Put yourself in Mary's shoes, her sandals this morning. She had just been given the gift that would bring eternal life. but it very easily could have cost her own if she would not have had a husband that would have said, and we brought this, Sister Lindsay brought this out in our encounter service. He had to be told not once, twice. Sometimes we're stubborn. And God comes to us time and time again and says, would you make a room? I desire to commune with you. I desire to change your life. You're always struggling. You're always fighting. Let me tell you, God's got a blessing with your name on it. If you'll open up the door and say, Lord, I know it's not the prettiest. It might not be the biggest. But you see this wall right here? We can go ahead and knock it out and add on. Amen. We got to begin to have a decision in our mind and in our heart saying, Lord, build a room for blessing. We find in 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse number 8, and it fell on the day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where a great woman, where there was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. Anybody here ever had warm homemade bread? Oh man, that's good stuff. And it was so that as oft as he passed, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, behold now, I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall. Let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in thither. And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. Find that this woman told her husband. The scripture says, and it brings out that she perceived. Now, we'll talk to all you husbands here for just a minute. Don't discredit your helpmate. I know some of them ladies aren't in here, so guys, shoulder up. God has given her to you in order to bless you. And to help you. And to direct our stubbornness when we are hard-headed and we don't want to do something. Can you imagine this man, the husband here, thinking we're adding on to the house? Why don't... He's the prophet. He can go anywhere. He can go to the house next door. They got 3 bedrooms and 2 baths that they're not using. What I find is that she decided that she was willing to make room. And when she began to set up a room, it made room for a promise to be fulfilled. Amen. How many here has ever been received a promise from God? Now, those of us that still have not seen that promise fulfilled, we need to check and make sure we're adding on properly, that we're preparing. See, it was just this woman and her husband. There was no children there. It was a house that had full coverage, Brother Jason, because nobody was eating all the junk food. We find that she wanted to inconvenience herself and make a room. But not only to make room, but then to furnish the room. Church, right here, if you just follow me for just a minute, if you will begin to furnish the room, as you allow God, if you make room for God, He'll not only make a room for a blessing, but then He'll begin to add on a room for promise. I'm here to tell you, God is a man. Excuse me. He is not a man that he should lie. Amen. But he is someone. Amen. That when he makes a promise in his word, it is yea and amen. It will be accomplished. But we've got to be willing to prepare the room. We find this, the prophet stayed there time and time again. He finally sent his servant down. He said, hey, go find out what the Shunammite woman, whatever she wants. Whatever the king of the host has in his hands, it's in her hands. Could you imagine that coming to your household? Whatever you want. Whatever you want, Sister Janet, just let it be spoken and it'll be done. She said to the servant, I reside with my own people. Basically, she told him, I'm satisfied. I don't need anything. We find that the servant went back to the prophet. He said, what'd she say that she needed? He began to recite in the ears of the prophet the unspoken prayer of that widow, or that woman there that was barren. And he said, she doesn't have a child. Prophet called for, and as she walked in to the doorway. Let me tell you something, church. We can stand up, and it's time that we stand in the midst of the doorway, because whenever we go through a doorway, we are leaving our current circumstances. We're stepping in to a new room that we've never resided before. I'm here to tell you this morning that God has got a room that is filled with promise, but we've got to get up. We got to step into it. Open up the door of promise and say, Lord, here am I to step in to what you have said you're going to give to me. We find that she has a child because she was good to the prophet of God. I'm here to tell you, it's in order that you take care of your pastor. It's in order that you pay your tithes, because when you do what is right by the word of God, God will always pour out a promise and a blessing for you. Hallelujah. Number three, I'm trying to close. Luke chapter number 19 and verse number 5. Amen. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, speaking of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, all those that like to stand around and watch, murmured and said that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. If we make room for him, he will make a room for hope. See, Zacchaeus did not want to talk to Christ. He just wanted to see him. Right now, some of y'all didn't come to talk to Christ. You just want to see him. I just want to feel him, but I don't want to commune with him. I don't want to have any contact with him. I just want to see him. Now, if I came to different ones in here and I said, well, Sister Shelley, I'm just going to come on over to your house for lunch today. Hope that's okay. I'm bringing my 12 disciples, and there's about 50 other people that's coming. You ought to be good with that. She's thinking, I don't think so. That's what happened. He said, hey, bub, get on down from that tree. I know you just wanted to look at me. We're going to go have a little talk. And I'm coming to your house. And the scripture says, it brings this out, that he received him joyfully. So many times, when the power and the presence of God begins to knock on our heart's door, instead of being joyful and running to him and saying, I'll make a room. So many times we slam the door and say, it's not quite time. I'm not all put together. You got to realize Zacchaeus was a shyster. He was a crook. He admitted it. He said, I'm going to pay them old boys back fourfold. Everything that I have, half of it I'm going to give to the poor. Right off the top. This was before he realized that he even had hope, Sister Pepper. That was before he'd even been told that salvation was at his house. He automatically said, Lord, here am I. I'm giving half of it away, and the stuff that I got left, I'm going to go pay all these others back. My false accusation, I'm here to tell you this morning that God Almighty, He has got a room of hope, a room full of promise and blessing. But you've got to be willing, when He calls your name, to get up, open the door, and say joyfully, Lord, come on in. Instead, we say, well, I've hit my Christmas service, Brother Jason. I'll have to come back to church for, till Easter. You know I'm telling the truth. Are we going to receive it joyfully? I wish I had a door up here. Here. Can't hear it, but made me feel good. Or are we slamming the door in mercy's face, saying, I just came to see your presence, not to be changed by your presence. There is a room that is filled with hope, and it's got your name on it. It's got your name on it. Are we willing to receive Him? I find that if we make room for Him, He will always come in, and He will fill the room with His presence. I find later on in the Scripture, do you have any room for Him this morning? Go ahead and throw up the main title to Him. Do you have any room for Him this morning? Or is all your rooms full? Maybe do you have a room available for 13 people to come and reside tonight? She said, I guess they can have the floor. Because your room, your house is full. Beautifully. But do we make room for Him? I find that Jesus Christ, Sister Lindsay, if you go back to the piano, I find that Christ, whenever it was time for Him to have the Last Supper with His disciples, He told them, He said, go, you find a man carrying a pot. Go talk to him. They said, Lord, what do you want us to do? He said, you'll see him and just tell him you have need of his large chamber. Oh, church, and it will be fully furnished. The Scripture bears out in Luke that it was prepared. Man didn't know who he was preparing for. But no doubt, he had heard the story of how over 33 and a half years ago that there was a child that went to a little town called Bethlehem and was born in a manger because nobody had a room for him. No doubt, this is my own commentary. This is Lucas Aaron Sanders' commentary. We find that he had nobody that was supposed to be in that place. But what if for 33 years, Sister Pepper, he prepared an upper room, not knowing when the time was going to come. But he had a room that was prepared. Here in this Christmas season, I ask you, church, do you have any room? I'm going to close with this story. My grandpa, any of you never met him, don't know him, he would never let a stray go by without trying to rescue it. Beast or man. My grandpa would invite more strangers in probably than those that would walk in down to the Salvation Army. My grandpa was driving through Joplin one day and he seen a man walking down the side of the road. He pulled over, rolled down his window and said, "Sir, I don't know you, but I want you to get in the car. I'm going to take you, feed you some lunch. You're going to come to my house." My grandpa began to exchange conversation with this man. His name was Rocky. Rocky had just gotten out of prison. You see, Rocky, 14 years old, his mama overdosed on drugs. And at 14 years old, that young man decided he was going to take that shotgun that was in the closet and go kill the man that gave his mama them drugs. And as Rocky went down in the streets in Chicago, he seen two police officers coming down the alleyway. He thought they were coming to get him. And as Rocky unloaded that shotgun and killed one of them officers, Rocky spent 30 years of his life in prison as a result of it. All Rocky had ever known, Brother Jason, was the walls and the bars. As he was released from prison, they gave him a bus ticket, said, "We'll send you anywhere you want to go." He somehow ended up in Joplin, Missouri. There's an old preacher, man, that was looking for someone that was lost. See, my grandpa, 60-some years old, still made sure that my grandma had room and food for at least 10 or 12 people in case any of the children decided to come home for lunch, supper, or stay for a day or two. Grandpa brought Rocky into the house. Rocky was rough looking. As Rocky told Grandpa what he had done, he said, "I was trying to walk down the street and find somebody that I could rob to where I could go back to prison, because that's the only place that I have any peace." So my grandpa put Rocky in his house, a murderer. Fed him and drug him to church. See, my grandma knew that my grandpa always had room for one more. And as they made room for Rocky, Rocky made room for Christ. See, Rocky, one Sunday morning, came down to the altar and gave his life to Christ. He had tried drugs, alcohol, and women. Found that there was nothing that satisfied his soul. Till one day Rocky made room for Christ. My grandpa folded up his ministry there in Joplin, Missouri. Rocky had left. He went back to Chicago. And in Chicago, he made room for a ministry to reach to those men and women that were leaving the prison bars. See, here a couple years ago, my daddy sent me a picture of him and Rocky. Rocky came to Kansas City to fill in my dad on the ministry that he had started. Because there was an old preacher, man, that decided to make room for an old rank sinner that smelled of alcohol, that looked rough and ragged. But because he made room for Rocky, Rocky made room for Christ. And now Rocky is sending out soul after soul that has made room for Christ. I want to bring something up even a little bit more current. I got a cousin, Callie Crafton, and she has the ministry to make room for people. And she sees a homeless woman that is lost and undone on drugs. She stops her vehicle and she wraps him in a hug and says, I love you and Christ loves you. There is room at the cross for you. I'm here to tell you this morning that if you'll make room for him, there is a room that is filled with promise. There is a room filled with blessing and a room filled with hope. And here on this Christmas service, do you have any room for him? Congregation, if you'd stand. Christ, the presence of the Almighty is here. And he is knocking. Maybe there's a room that you've not allowed him access to this morning. I want every head bowed, every eye closed. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, I want you simply just to lift your hand and put it back down. Because there is room. There's room for you. You've not been given him everything. You've not fully given him access to every room in your life. This is just a point in time where you can be honest with him. No one is looking around. Just raise your hand and say, I've got an area that I need God to minister to. I've got a room that I need him to come in and renovate. I need an overhaul. I need a remodel. God is here to meet you this morning. And as I close this message down, I want you to know that up here at this front, that's where the walls are kicked out and the room is added on. Congregation, come. Come one, come all. Make room for Christ in a new avenue, in a new area this morning. Christ wants to meet you. He wants to add your name to that roll up yonder. Hallelujah.